You are listening to Visionaries Wrestling Network, providing your perfect podcast experience.
You are watching or listening to Ethan Cross, 41 as Zach says, and also MGB Podcast.
Today we have a very special guest, UEW wrestler Ethan Cross. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. Thanks for having me on the podcast.
Now, the reason we want you on the podcast is, at the last UEW event, Boiling Point, in February, we came across to your merch table, and we collect autographs, we collect the 8x10s, and we saw one that caught our eye straight away. And after we left the stand, we're like, woo, we kind of like to know a little bit more about that. We talked about it on our review of that event. So, Mason, we have like one big overlying question, I guess. Mason, give the big question.
So, what happened on the Raw before WrestleMania?
The Raw before WrestleMania week, which was an awesome thing to do. I was invited there to be an officer. And I end up arresting Charlotte Flair, Becky Lynch, and Ronda Rousey.
Now, we wanted to kind of know, so there was a few things that happened with that. We actually watched it again today, because I remember seeing the highlights, but I don't remember at that specific time. I'm not sure, actually. I don't think we'd actually seen your first match then. I think the first match we saw was, I got it written down, I think it was like April 15th. So at that time, I wouldn't have known that, oh, look, there's Ethan Cross. So one of the questions we had is, like, kind of, how did you get chosen for that? Because I looked today, I didn't recognize any of the other people in the ring. So were they wrestlers as well? Are they actors? How does that come about? How does that opportunity arise?
Opportunity arises when you, do different shows for different people and do your best. And when people start liking you and you're getting booked on shows, and then everything just come in one piece. It's a place where everybody wants to go at the end of the day. So we just work our tails off and we end up at the right place at the right time. And opportunity comes, I take it.
And obviously it was very fortuitous that it was in New York this year and the Raw before was in Washington, D.C. So obviously that's really close to where we are right now. So I guess, yeah, everything fell perfectly for that.
Did you get to meet any wrestlers backstage?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Who did you meet?
Almost everybody, actually.
Now, the reason we're asking is we also went to AEW's first event that was in D.C., the Dynamite Show. And while we were stood there, we actually had pretty good seats for that one. And we saw people like Bobby Shields was there, Brandon Scott, and then they sort of disappeared backstage. And that was kind of what we were like, oh, what happens? Do they get to like see the locker room? Do they get to meet the wrestlers? Mason's fascinated by what goes behind the curtain. And we never get to see that side. We only obviously see the front side of it. So I know that was something that he was curious about.
I really like watching the 24 documentaries on the WWE Network where they go behind the scenes and stuff.
Yeah. Like we get to, you know, when they invite us to places like that and we get to meet everybody for one, and then we all, each individual have our own place to do things to remember. So I don't want to say too much about it. You know,
and that was the thing that we said. Like, we don't want to put you in any trouble at all. But obviously, we got certain questions, and if there's anything that you can't say, then obviously you can't say. What I was curious about is that whole segment was actually kind of long. After their match had finished, I sort of wrote down the times. There was 8 minutes from the first time that I'm trying to remember who attacked who first. Ronda attacked Charlotte first. Then the security came in, and that was insufficient. I think there was like 8 security people. That wasn't enough. Then you guys came in. It looked like you were the captain. You seemed to be giving orders of like, hey, I need you guys to hold this person in this corner. I need you guys to be holding. And from that point, there was 8 minutes going on. Now, there was a lot of things that happened within that time. Obviously, people broke free and then they attacked each other and then you separated them. You had to do the handcuffing as well. You had to escort them off the stage. Now, one of the questions I had with regards to that was as well, it looked like you took a couple of kicks from Charlotte Flair as well. She had her hands behind her back, but she was swinging backwards with that leg.
Yes, he was. Yeah. Oh man, I was sore for 2 days for that one.
It looked pretty, like, I know, a kick to the shins. That's painful. I played soccer. I know that can be really painful if you get that. And she was swinging backwards with that. Not only that, once you'd actually managed to get them all, you had to kind of go up the ramp. You had to go then down the stage. You had to go to the back area where the police cars were, because they'd obviously been arrested at this point. And then there was a lot of stuff going on there as well. You had to kind of separate them out. I don't know if it was your decision to put Rhonda and Becky in the same car, but that was a terrible decision. That was never going to work.
Yeah, we put them in. They put them in a car, and it was, man, it was just, I guess, stroke of luck, I guess. But yeah, we try to keep them separated, man. When they get arrested, carry them down to the police station.
Now, and this might be the part that you can't answer then. How much planning goes into a segment like that? Because there's a lot of stuff going on. Like, is the decision made like, okay, Rhonda's going to get handcuffed first, Becky's going to get handcuffed second. There was obviously, Rhonda was driving the car as well because she managed to break free. How much planning goes involved into that 8-minute segment? Because it looked like there was a lot of stuff going on there.
things just kind of happened the way it was. Like, honestly, like, things happen, and it's like you got to go with the momentum. So when you have a lot of stuff going on within those 8 minutes, it's just, man, it's like, I got to arrest them. They cannot be together. Uh-huh. We have to separate them. So it just happens at the moment.
So it's kind of like a match then. You have certain spots where you know you're going to hit those certain points, but besides that, there's a lot of improvisation as well?
Yes, sir, it is.
Okay. And I was curious about that as well, because we've heard that Vince is a bit of a stickler, and he's like constantly talking in people's ears, and he likes to run the show. So there was just too many people to be able to sort of control that level. With you guys as the police, with the three wrestlers, with the other security guards, it just seemed like there was some. It all coordinated brilliantly. I was really impressed with the whole segment.
Oh yeah. Everything just happened in a moment. It's just when things happen, it just automatically happens, and then. At the end of the day, it's like, oh man, done a good job. Like, awesome.
Absolutely. I'd forgot watching it, because they kept saying the whole time, like, if somebody hits somebody, then they're out of the main event at WrestleMania. And then when Rhonda went across and hit her, I was like, my gosh, what happened? Because obviously we knew they had that match. Of course, the match had finished at that point, so they had that little loophole. But the whole segment worked really well. Now, that was the main reason we wanted to invite you on, because we definitely wanted to know more about that story. I know Mason has some other general questions as well about wrestling, so go ahead, Mason.
If you could wrestle or wrestle with any wrestler, who would that wrestler be?
In what type of organization? WWE?
Any.
AEW.
You got the choice.
Honestly, I have two in mind that I want to wrestle, if they ever get a chance to. One, Edge, for one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Two, Ric Flair.
Sure. Yeah. Oh, yeah, go. If you're going to wrestle, if you're going to get to pick anybody, you might as well pick a big name, yeah. Ric Flair, certainly. And Edge is coming back as well now, after he's had his injury, so, yeah. Now, I know one thing, Mason, as well. I forgot what we mentioned on the interview before. I had listened to one of your other podcasts. I'm trying to remember. It's something like Behind the Curtain, something like that. And I mentioned to Mason that one of your big aims was to make it to WWE. He actually said you did. You did make it.
Yeah.
Does that count, or do you still have that aim to be there as a wrestler as well?
That count, but also as a wrestler as well. You know, it's just a foot in the door. And, like, it's whenever they need me, they call me, and I go.
Okay, fair enough.
Have you had any injuries or sicknesses that made you take time off from wrestling?
No, the only thing within is 10 years now, I had a fractured neck.
Oof.
I was out for a while, but then I came back and took it slow, and then I became full force with it again. Other than that, that's the only injury I ever had.
And that's a pretty big one. We obviously know people like Daniel Bryan were out for a few years. Edge is, well, obviously nearly 10 years. So,
Edge.
Yeah. Page, yeah, it can obviously, that can be really serious.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I went back and looked through the database. luckily, one of the best things I ever did was, Mason, I took my notes and I typed them in electronically. So when I go to search, I can type in Ethan Cross, and every match that we've ever reviewed that has Ethan Cross in comes back up. Because I was trying to, some of the matches, I was like, oh, okay, I remember that one. Also, any comments that we made on the podcast, they're already there. So this inspires some of the questions. So the first time that we actually saw you, it was April 13th. It was at UCW WrestleFest, and you were the first person out. You cut a promo, you pulled up a chair, and you said, I'm not doing anything. I'm going to sit here all night until management addresses some issue. I can't remember what the issue was. I know it was Devore? I never remember how you pronounce his name. But the owner of UCW was there, and that was the first time that we saw you. It certainly looked like you were playing a heel character on that one. That seems to be the role that we see you at the most. The thing I really liked about UCW was there was that promo side. It was very WWE-like in that sense, that when I went back and looked on Facebook, you had to do something like ahead of time. Did you break into his house? Was that the story? There was something like that.
Yeah, I broke into his house.
And why did you do that?
Because he wouldn't get what I wanted. And that was the UCW Heavyweight Championship.
Ah, there we go. And that match that we actually saw on that one was, you had the second match, you were actually facing Tremor. Now, the next time we saw you was at UCW again, June 21st, at the Orange County Fair. Now, I put on this one, and I kind of forgot this part. I remembered part of it. I remember you getting very upset, but I couldn't remember why. And I've got right down here, somebody squirted water at you. Now, if I'd have seen that on AEW, I would have said, that's a plant. Somebody's set that up so Ethan can respond to it. Was that just somebody who got a little bit too excitable?
Oh, yeah. Somebody, from what I understood, somebody was drunk in the audience, and they just decided to throw water at me. And, oh, man, it set me off.
Of course. I can say, yeah. You could tell, obviously as a character, you have to play angry with the crowd, particularly when you're playing a heel character. That looked like it was way more. And I thought at the time, I was like, with it being a county fair, there's probably people there who don't know wrestling etiquette. They don't realize that you can't be abusive to the wrestlers. You can't throw things at the wrestlers. Now, one of the things then that might, if that's true then, as you just said, one of the things that might have been a great moment in that, the one actually came across and punched you in the face. Yeah. And that actually, at that moment, then you went sort of battling back and forth, and you managed to get yourself to the back. So actually, that was a great move then by DeJuan. That was not expected to happen, and he played into it perfectly.
Thank you.
Next time, UEW. This was the first event for them. Got our six, and you faced Kevin Mears, Isaiah Frazier, and Ray Vex. Now, I can't remember what that was for, Mason. Can you remember? Is it Cruiserweight? Commonwealth champion, cruiserweight.
Yeah.
What do you remember about that match? Do you remember anything specific about that one?
That was for, I believe, the television championship match. I believe so.
Now, we got a few things from this. One of them was that you've actually been in CZW.
Yes.
You want to tell us a little bit more? I don't have the opponent written down. I don't have anything written down. All I have written down is you appeared in CZW, which is very poor on my part. Normally I would go, ooh, CZW, and I would start researching. I don't know if we were short on time that time. I don't remember at all. But when I look back at this, I was like, Mason is obsessed with hardcore wrestling right now. He keeps asking me, hey, can we watch CZW? I'm like, perhaps in a couple of years' time. But
yeah, I was in CZW. I remember wrestling DJ High. It was my debut there. And ooh, what a fight. What a fight. Oh, God. I tipped my hat off to him. Ooh.
That might be one we can actually go back and look at. I think they're all on PowerSlam. I know they've uploaded a lot of those, and perhaps even IWTV. Now, around that time, I think the reason I got distracted was that was when I found your Through the Curtain interview. And one of the things that you mentioned is how you got started in wrestling. And I'm not sure, are you from the Richmond area?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I know UEW is based in Richmond, so I kind of thought that. And when I saw this person's name, that kind of caught my eye as well. I'm not sure if Mason knows this story or if he remembers. Can you tell us the conversation that you had that kind of got you started in wrestling or kind of gave you a little push?
Yes. I got in wrestling from 1995 until 2008. I was incarcerated. I was in prison for the whole 13 years. I got out, got released 2008, July 16th. a year and a half later, I believe, got into wrestling. I worry the mess out of my best friend, and I couldn't use a computer at the time because it wasn't no computers back in the 90s. Mm-hmm. So I worried her to death, and I was like, I need to find a organization where I get into wrestling. I want to do something. And she kept going into the computer until she found GXW.
Now, I thought I heard that there was some conversation with Mickey James. Is that right?
Yes. The Mickey James, she was at Wawa at this particular time, and she wrote, yeah, and she jotted down information, and I kept it, and that's how, honestly, like, I ended up in wrestling from a lady named Elizabeth Wattage and her.
Wow. Amazing how things happen like that. I know we would totally freak out. If we suddenly pulled up to get gas and we saw Mickey James or one of those characters like that, I think we'd totally be in awe of that situation. Now, also, the last thing I got from this one is as well, it says your aim in that interview was to wrestle until you're 75. Oh, my goodness. I don't even think Ric Flair managed that.
That is my goal. That is my second goal, is to wrestle until I'm 75.
That gives you plenty of time to get into WWE. Then, if that's your aim, you still got many years to achieve that goal. But we were both very impressed when we heard that. I don't think is your grandfather even 75?
I think he's 74.
Yeah, I think he's just under that because that was kind of the conversation. Can you imagine Pop suddenly starting to wrestle? So yes, that kind of put that one into perspective. We also saw you at, now actually Mason, I don't think you did see this one. Classic Pro Wrestling, 0 Hour, November 23rd. I think you had baseball practice. I took Jackson. You had a match versus Desmond King. And one of your highlights from that one was you kicked a plastic megaphone off a heckling fan. There's a guy who has his toy and was going, boo! And you grabbed it from him and you kicked that thing right into the crowd. And it came fairly close to us. That was pretty funny. We liked that one. And the heel part. Now, this is the part we don't know with you. I was expecting you. Desmond offered you a hand right at the end. And we were like, uh-oh, he's going to just turn around and clock. You gave him a hug. So there is that soft side to you as well, right, Ethan?
Yeah. well, you know, you still can be a bad tail and still give respect. So that was my way of showing respect of a good fight.
Now, I had one more comment for that match, but I'm going to save it for the end because it links in with something I want to say right at the end. We did actually see you at Classic Pro Wrestling again on February 1st. Size doesn't matter. That's one where Hornswoggle was there. We were going to try and get down to that, and then we couldn't make it for some reason, and we saw it was on Facebook Live. So I said to Mason, hey, you want to do the review for this? We didn't even realize you were in the first match. We missed it. We literally saw, you must have rolled out the ring first. We saw Kevin Mears. We saw Kevin Mears, and that was all we actually saw for that. So I guess we can't really count that one. But we knew you were at that one as well. And then the last time, UEW Boiling Point, February 8th, match against Max Morrison. And the reason why I saved the comment for the other one is, after that event's finished, the UEW, we love UEW, United Elite Wrestling. We think they're amazing. They've got a great roster together, lots of people we like watching, very accessible to the fans, and they have a fan club, which is amazing. You get birthday cards, you get autographs, you get a chance to meet the wrestlers, all things that boys of 12 and 6 love. And they actually asked, who's your favorite wrestler? And they mentioned a few people, and then they said, hey, how about comments on this person? And your name came up, and the comment that I put on there is the same thing I wrote down at this interview. I don't know anybody that sells better than you. I don't know anybody that puts in that extra effort. And it was the same thing with the Max Morrison match. Every time you get flipped, you get that extra height. You arch your back a little bit more on the... That's the biggest compliment I can pay. You really make your opponent look even better than what they actually are in some cases.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
it was the thing I noticed the most at that Classic Pro Wrestling. The first two times, it was more of, ooh, Ethan's tough. Ethan's a heel. He's just like a hard guy character. And then actually, once we started to know your character and we started to watch your wrestling matches more, that was the thing that stood out more than anything else. That you really do put your opponent over. And Max Morrison actually did the same thing, because obviously Max started with that match and he went hard for you, and then it got reversed. He did a great job as well. You guys at that organization put on every match. There was only 6 matches, and every single one of them was an absolute belter. So
thank you, appreciate it.
You are very welcome. Now, normally at this time, we would then talk about, hey, tell us about matches that you're going to appear in. We're not quite sure when this is going to come out. This is March 27th where we're recording today. I know the next UEW event has been cancelled. I think that was April 25th. I think the next one is July 14th or July 10th. It's around that area. I'm not sure we're going to be able to get to that. Do you have any bookings that you know about? Or is this the life of the wrestler right now, that everything's sort of on hold?
Yeah, right now things are on hold. I had like 3 shows for this month in March, but they got canceled due to what's going on in the world.
Yeah.
So hopefully in April everything dies down and we get back to doing stuff. Until then, we just practice and keep up. That's all.
Yeah, I think, I'm not sure, but I think I heard in Richmond, like, there's no gatherings of more than 10 people until at least April 24th, I think was one of the, and I know UEW said it's like the day after, but even so, it's just like so close, we're not even going to bother. All right, yeah. So I guess check out on social media, that might be the best place to find out where Ethan's going to be. Do you want to tell us how we can find you on social media, Ethan?
Oh yeah, you can find me on Facebook at Ethan Cross. You can find me on Twitter also, Ethan Cross 41, Instagram as well.
There we go.
Ethan Cross 41.
And if you didn't manage to catch any of those, we'll make sure they're included in the episode notes so you can find those a little bit easier.
What is your favorite subject and teacher in school?
My favorite teacher was a lady named Miss Hogany, and history is my favorite subject.
And what appeals to you most about that teacher? What's your memory of that teacher?
She pushed me to a limit that I was afraid to do, but then she kept pushing and pushing, and I end up doing stuff that I honestly didn't know I can do.
I was watching your facial expressions. When you mentioned that person's name, there was a smile came on your... That's kind of the idea that I'm trying to do. I think everyone has that positive teacher. And that's kind of what I'm trying to encapsulate with that question. All right, I know you got one more question too.
Did you do any sports in school?
Honestly, no. I didn't like physical ed. it's crazy to say, but I didn't like it. Like, that was the only subject that I always get F's in because I didn't want to do it.
Now, you don't have it written down. Do you have a third question? Mm-hmm. What tips do you have for somebody who's looking to become a wrestler? What good advice can you give to somebody who's 12 years old who's looking to become a wrestler?
Good advice is to keep your ears and eyes open and mouth shut. Listen to everything what the coach has to say. And once you learn that, and be humble. Because once you learn all of that, like, everything else come at ease.
That's good advice. Yep.
Thanks, Ethan Cross, for coming on.
All right, thank you for having me.
Thank you so much, Ethan.
It's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from them.
Goodbye!
Music was Zigzag by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. https://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0/.